Welcome to a new episode of the Apostolic and Prophetic Podcast. Today is Sunday, the 17th of March, and we will continue with our series on Israel. Just to give a short review, what we spoke about in the last episodes for those who are listening to this for the first time, we were looking at the Bible and at how many times is Israel mentioned in the Bible. And it's not just 100, 200, or 500 times mentioned. It's more than 1,250 times mentioned in the Bible. And also more than 260 times it is mentioned the God of Israel. So Israel is a very important topic. You could say it is one of the most important topics of the whole Bible, because the whole Old Testament or the whole Bible is about actually the story of Israel and what happened to them throughout the centuries. So we also were seeing that God is not just or was not just the God of Israel, he remains the God of Israel forever. He made an eternal covenant with Abraham and his descendants. He confirmed that covenant to Isaac, to Jacob, who later became Israel. God himself gave the name Israel to Jacob. And he made this covenant, which is eternal, in combination with the promise that they will get the land of Canaan as an eternal possession, which is nowadays the land of Israel. So it's clear that according to the Bible, the land of Israel belongs to the children of Israel, no matter what the world is saying. And there is also mentioned in the Bible that there will be a two-state solution in the future. You could say also most likely in the last days. And that is mentioned in the book of Ezekiel, where God is commanding Ezekiel to prophesy over the mountains of Israel. And this was hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. And Ezekiel is prophesying that the mountains of Israel, which is now the Palestinian territories, or the West Bank also, that they will fall into the hands of the enemies of Israel, but also that God will restore Israel and that they will hear the reproaches of the surrounding nations no more. And this has not happened yet. This needs still to be fulfilled. And the question is when this would happen. And also the Bible is clear about this, that in the last days, before Jesus is coming back, there will be a last, you could say, empire in the Middle East. And it's the empire of the Antichrist. And Antichrist will enter into Israel and will conquer Israel and will even conquer Jerusalem. And then Jesus will return. Okay, so let's have a look today on the topic of Jerusalem, because this is also a very crucial topic in the Bible and why there's such a fight about Jerusalem. Because it's not just Israel saying this is the undivided capital of Israel, but also the Palestinians claim we want to have Jerusalem. And if we look in the Bible, Jerusalem is also not just mentioned a couple of times, not just 100 or 200 or 300 times, no, 701 times it is mentioned in the Bible, Jerusalem. And another word for Jerusalem is Zion or Salem. And if you combine those, I mean, Zion is mentioned 145 times and Salem is mentioned 4 times, so it's more than 840 times mentioned in the Bible that you could say the topic Jerusalem. And Zion is actually the Mount Zion, where was also the Temple Mount, which is also the Temple Mount, and where was the Temple. And nowadays is another building there, and it is the Al-Aqsa Mosque, one of the most holy sites or for the Muslim world, because the Muslims believe, according to their tradition, that Muhammad was going into heaven from that place. Okay, but let's have a look at a few scriptures why Jerusalem has such an importance. And in Psalm 74, verse 2, there's written, "Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, the tribe of your inheritance, which you have redeemed, this Mount Zion, where you have dwelt." Okay, so Mount Zion is basically the place where God dwells. And in another scripture, it's in Psalm 76, there it is written, I read from verse 1, "In Judah God is known, his name is great in Israel. In Salem," which is also another expression for Jerusalem, "also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion." And to understand that conflict, we need to understand it in the light of the Bible, that it is a spiritual conflict about Jerusalem. Because if there is God, then there's also Satan. If there is light, then there's also darkness. And we know from the Word of God, from the Bible, that Satan wanted to be in the place where God is, where God sits in heaven. And there was a fight in heaven, and Satan was cast down to the earth. So Satan always wants to be in the place or occupy the place which is actually God's. And when Satan was cast out from heaven, when he could not sit on the throne of God in heaven, he was coming to the earth. And on the earth, man ruled, because God had given us authority over the earth. So Satan had no more authority in heaven and no more authority on earth. So he wanted then to, you could say, take the place in the heart of men to rule over them and to rule by this over the earth. And he managed to do this by deceiving Adam and Eve, that they would doubt God's word and that they would listen more to Satan's voice than to God's voice. And then God was fighting for restoring this relationship. We know this for, you could say, thousands of years. And he managed to bring Jesus into this world. And Jesus, actually, he died in Jerusalem. He restored that relationship through his sacrifice, through his blood, which was shed on the cross, that we can again have this relationship with God. And the thing is that if God is saying that he wants to dwell on that mountain, like it is in Psalm 76, yes, I read it again, "In Salem also is his tabernacle and his dwelling place in Zion." If God wants to dwell there, of course Satan wants to take over this place, because he wants, you could say, to take away also everything what gives memory to this, that what God has done there, what God has done in Jerusalem, because Satan hates if people have fellowship with God. And this is very clear if we look on what kind of building is standing now on that mountain. It's the mosque, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, and there are several scriptures from the Quran inside that mosque. And one of them is actually to explicitly saying that Jesus is not the Son of God, that Jesus is just the Son of Mary, and that God actually has no son. So this is not the word actually, word by word, but you can find out this if you Google it, if you check what is written in the Al-Aqsa Mosque online. And it's actually denying the very sacrifice and work God was doing, you could say, in that city to bring us back to his heart, to cleanse us from our sins. And this is actually the old tactic Satan is using for thousands of years, to lie and to pervert the truth of God, to replace it with a lie in order to keep people away from the truth, because he knows, be like Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Satan doesn't want that people are free. And actually, it's what is written there in that mosque is the manifestation of the Antichrist spirit. And we find this in 1 John in chapter 2. And there in verse 18 is written, little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. And verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Messiah? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. And another thing that is written in there is also that God is not three in one. So there's clearly written in that Al-Aqsa Mosque the denial of the Trinity. And there we have also one scripture in 1 John. And this is in chapter 5 in verse, I read verse 6 and 7. This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Messiah. Not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, we know Jesus is the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Okay, and that verse you will not find in every Bible, but in the King James Bible, in the New King James Bible, you have it. You don't have it in the New International Version Bible, but in a good Bible translation, you have this verse. And so in that very place that God chose for himself to be his dwelling place, in that city, you could say also, where God made such a big sacrifice by sending his son, by coming in the flesh to bear our sins, and where God made this way for us to be reconciled with him, there Satan, you could say, replaced it with the wrong temple, with the wrong religion, with the wrong proclamation, and with another version of the truth, which is actually not the truth, it's a lie. Denying actually the very work that could save people. And from there also, not just from there, but this is also the essence, you could say, of that Antichrist spirit and Antichrist religion of Islam, to spread it into the whole world, that the whole world would rather believe a lie in order not to be reconciled with God. And I know this is not political correct, but this is not about political correctness here. It's about the Word of God and what is written in the Bible and what the Word of God is saying. So the Word of God clearly says, if you deny the Son, if you deny the Father, then that is the Antichrist spirit. And this is actually exactly what Islam is mainly preaching, to denying that Jesus is the Son of God, to deny that God is a father. They are saying that God doesn't need to have children or something like this. Okay, anyway, but this is just, it's not to say that all the Muslims are bad, but it's to say that actually it's a spiritual conflict. It's a spiritual conflict about Jerusalem, and it's a conflict that goes on for ages, you could say, between Satan and God, and that Satan wants to occupy every place where God wants to dwell. Okay, because where God is dwelling, there is peace, there is love, there is joy, there is restoration. So all these things which Satan hates. And that conflict will culminate short before Jesus is returning, when Antichrist, you could say, when an army and a leader with his army and with many nations that are united under him will invade Israel and also conquer Jerusalem. And this is written in the book of Zechariah in chapter 14. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses riffled, and the women ravished or raped. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Okay, and this is very important. That is a scripture that could have never been fulfilled before. Because when the Romans conquered Jerusalem, Jerusalem was inhabited by Jewish people, and Jerusalem was destroyed, and all the remaining people were going into captivity or were killed. But here it is clearly written, it's a prophecy that half of the city shall go into captivity. And nowadays we have a divided Jerusalem. We have East Jerusalem, where the Muslims mainly live, and we have West Jerusalem, where the Jewish people live. And of course, if the Antichrist, who will be an Islamic ruler, we will also do a few podcast episodes about this at a later time, but the Antichrist will be an Islamic ruler if he is entering Israel and taking captive Jerusalem. Of course, he will not take into captivity the Muslim population, but just the Jewish population. And this is exactly something what could have never been fulfilled before, what is written here in the prophet Zechariah. But then, verse 3, then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Okay, and this is unbelievable. This is so what here Zechariah was seeing, what God was telling him, is that there will come a time when Jerusalem will be invaded and by enemy armies, and they will go into captivity, the half of the city, but then God himself will come back and his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Verse 4, and in that day, so it's a single day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. And this refers to the Lord. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations. And it is very interesting if we read in the book of Acts, when Jesus was going to heaven, and this we find in the book of Acts in chapter 1, and there we know that Jesus was going to heaven and the disciples were looking up, and then there were standing angels next to them, and they were explaining them something and also giving a prophecy about Jesus' return. And this we can read in the book of Acts in chapter 1 in verse 9. So it's after Jesus was promising, I think I will read also what he was promising. Wait a minute. Verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So we know this. This is always preached in every church on the day of Pentecost. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, but this is very important, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. So actually, Jesus is not saying he will not restore the kingdom of Israel. No, there will come a time that he will restore the kingdom to Israel. And it means the power and the authority and Israel will have again a king. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Okay, and now, when is this happening? Verse 9. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So Jesus is going to heaven, disappearing in the clouds. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and these are actually angels, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Okay, let's stop here for a second. So the angels are saying, in like manner, this Jesus will come back. So that means he will come out from the clouds, come down, and put his feet, you could say, back on the earth. But where was this happening? Verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. So actually this happened on the Mount of Olives, and the angels are saying this same Jesus will come back on the Mount of Olives in the same way like you saw him going up. So that is actually a proof and a confirmation and a link between the Old and New Testament that Jesus is the Lord, that Jesus is God himself. Because I read it again, what was written in Zechariah in chapter 14 in verse 3, then the Lord or Yahweh will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two. Hallelujah. So here we can see when is actually that day when you could say Jesus is coming back, and when also Jesus is restoring the kingdom to Israel. And that is exactly after Jerusalem was taken captive, or half of it, by the Antichrist. And then Jesus is coming back, and then we have his rule on earth. So actually, God is allowing that this is happening to show to the whole world that he is the only one, you could say, who is able to defeat that satanic ruler, which is who is empowered by Satan, the Antichrist, that he is the only one who can bring peace to this world. And, okay, let's sum it up. So Jerusalem is a very important city for God. It's mentioned many, many times in the Bible, over 800 times, if you also count the other names of Jerusalem, like Zion. And it is so important because God said in his word that he was choosing the city. We cannot, of course, go through all the 700 scripture where it is mentioned. He was choosing the city to be his dwelling place. And Satan always tries to occupy God's dwelling place. He tried it in heaven, he tried it with the hearts of men, and he tries it with Jerusalem. But at the end, Jesus will come back in that city and he will restore the kingdom to Israel. Okay, I wish you a good start into the week. May God bless you with his shalom. And if that podcast is speaking to you, please share it with your friends, in your home group, in your church, with your pastor, or with other people where you think they need to hear this. And hear you next time. Shalom and amen.